and welcome to today's Love Your Life Now podcast. My name is Sonia Sophie and I am here today with my friends and colleagues
Christina Sergun-Powers,
Tina Thornton,
Sabine Isayan.
And today we are going to talk about another superfood, so stay tuned for an awesome 20 minutes. Today, again, our superfood that we're talking about is fats. And some of you might be saying right now, how could fat be a superfood? Fat makes fat. I don't know. What's going on? I've been trying to eat no fat cheese for the last 15 years. It never tasted good and I'm still trying. Are you telling me it was all for nothing? Yeah, I'm sorry. Because today we're going to shine some light on fats. Now, there are good fats and bad fats, and we're going to find out all about that. So let's go right into and talk about this superfood that we call fats. So, who wants to start?
Okay, I will start by saying that the good fats are also called monounsaturated fats and polyunsaturated fats. So these are the good fats, and they are found. So monounsaturated fats are found in avocados, olives, olive oils, nuts, sunflower oils, seeds, different kinds of fish, halibut, mackerel, vegetables high in oleic acid. These are monounsaturated fats, and they are mostly liquid at room temperature.
Okay, so let's stop there before people get confused and continue in that. So the liquid olive oil, you know, people have been shying away from, or some people have been shying away from putting oil on their salad, right? Or using oils for anything. So the monounsaturated fats, those who are liquid at room temperature, are actually good for us. And how much can I eat of that? Is probably the next question.
Well, everything in moderation, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So, I use a lot of olive oil because I am actually trying to gain weight, right? So I would eat more. But in general, even people who are trying to lose weight need to eat these good liquid fats because it helps with digestion and assimilation. Mm-hmm. So when we cut out these good fats out of our diet, our digestive system breaks down and then we're gaining more weight.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And when we look at the, you know, what's been happening since in the US particularly, the no-fat and low-fat yogurts and cheeses and margarines and whatnot, all those types of things, and muffins, like a low-fat, no-fat muffin, you know, since they've been pushed for the last 20-ish years or so, since around 1975, America has been getting more and more and more overweight every year.
Higher cancers, higher heart disease, all of this from staying with what the doctors have been telling us to do all these years.
Exactly, which was cut out the fat. And the oxymoron, you know, kind of is here that fat does not make you fat, but because it has the name fat, and when people are trying to lose weight, they're trying to lose body fat, you know, the easiest kind of bridge that we made back then was, oh, well, then we'll just not eat any fat and then we'll lose all the body fat. And what's true is if you are really trying to lose body fat and you don't eat any of the monounsaturated and the polyunsaturated fats, your body will stop burning the fat that you have and hold on to it even more. Mm-hmm. So olive oils, avocado oils, nuts, seeds, and we talked about those a couple of weeks ago. So you want to also listen to that podcast on how to eat them and why they're really good. And also a lot of vegetables do have some oil in them.
Yes, yeah, so with the vegetable oils, we just need to make sure that they're not genetically modified vegetables or non-organic, because they are filled with pesticides. Mm-hmm. So in general, if you think of vegetable oil, you think it should be good for me. But if the vegetable you're talking about is corn oil, most corn is genetically modified. So now you're not getting the natural something natural. It's kind of man-made, and your body really doesn't know what to do with that oil.
So really good point. So when we're saying there is some oil in vegetable, we are not telling you that vegetable oil that you can buy in a container in the store is good. That actually falls under the trans fatty acid, or possibly the, it's the trans fatty acid category, because it's very, very much processed. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can you, Sabine, I asked you last month, I think, about sunflower oil because I thought it was so good, but you had something interesting to say. Do you remember what you said to me about sunflower oil?
Actually, I think you asked me that
question. Okay. Oh, one of you, like, brilliant people.
Yeah. Sunflower oil is not, sunflower seeds are perfect. They're a perfect food. But the oil contains too much of the omega-3 and omega-6 essential fatty acid balance is out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So you said that if you eat too much of that, all you're doing is you're getting your essential fatty acids out of balance.
Yeah, and also that actually increases inflammation.
Right, that's what we were talking about.
Yeah. So why are sunflower seeds eaten as a whole are really, really good for you? The sunflower oil, which is, you know, the less natural way to get sunflower oil into your body, is so the omega-3 and omega-6 acid balance, fatty acid, is so out of balance that it actually acts as an inflammatory food.
So I want to say, on that experience of mine, be careful, because when you go and you actually start looking at the products and you look at it and you think, oh, it's got sunflower seed oil, that must be very healthy based on what you said. There are many, many products that have sunflower seed oil. And that's what I was my eyes were suddenly now open to what was really healthy and what wasn't as far as the oils.
Exactly.
And they're genetically modifying it too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't cook with it. I don't utilize sunflower oil at all. Right. I just stay away from it completely.
It's the processing and the heating and all that messes up with the natural oils that are in sunflower seed.
So cold pressed is what you should be getting. Cold. When you get an oil, it should be cold pressed oil.
Yes, usually first cold pressed organic. You want to be looking for those. And, you know, we talk about olive oil. There's so many different levels of olive oil. You know, there's olive oil that actually can be bad for you depending on how it's been processed, the kind of bottle it's been in, if it's been exposed to too much heat, if it's been sitting under the sun for too long, it becomes rancid. And that actually hurts you more than help you. So
it's free radical damage in the body.
Perfect, free radical damage. And so you do want to look for those things. First cold pressed, organic. You want to make sure it's a darker color bottle, and you want to store it in a cooler place.
Try to get away from plastics. We see a lot of oils that we buy are in plastic.
Oils,
it's
especially
breaking down the bottles. Yeah. We really want to see
they're soaking in they're basically deteriorating the bottle from the inside, and because they're fats, they just. And then you're really taking that into your body.
Oh, yeah.
So never. Just don't buy any oil that is presented to you in a plastic bottle.
The bisphenol A that comes down from all of that, from the plastic bottles, they will stay in the liver. And we generally don't, if we're doing a standard American diet or a standard diet, we don't eat in a way that will allow the bisphenol A that's built up in the liver to come out, unless you're drinking this concoction called kombucha, or and many times we'll see people and we think, oh, they're very fat or obese, but many times it's the body is actually using the fat to store away things that are extremely toxic to major organs of the system, heart, spleen, other organs in the body that need to be protected. So the body will hold on to those fats until we get in fats that the body needs to have so that it can release, because we have to have fat to burn fat. So, we have to really turn this whole myth we've had for the last 30, 40 years completely on its ear. And coconut oil is a good thing. Coconut oil is one of the best oils that we could possibly utilize. And for many years, it's been villainized. We've talked about it as a saturated fat. But mind you, unrefined coconut oil, not the refined high heat coconut oil, but the unrefined. And it's fantastic heating that up. And as a medium chain fatty acid, it's going to maintain its integrity. We can still have nutritional benefit when we make popcorn out of it or we make our little stir fries with it. I love coconut oil. What do you guys like to cook with and use?
Well, you know, I make those chocolate raw cacao truffle balls with the coconut, a couple tablespoons of coconut oil, depending on how much I make. And that was a question I asked you, Tina, the other day, and somebody else asked it here at the beginning, is what's too much? Because I asked you, I think I said, am I getting too much coconut oil in my diet? And then there's a secondary question too I have on that. Is there some kind of connection to reducing sugars? What's the sugar fat ratio?
Perfect.
What's the relationship between sugars and fats?
Okay, so because that's one of the next thing that we really have to mention in the, well, then, you know, if fat isn't the thing that makes us fat, then what is?
Yes.
And the easy answer is sugar. Because
sugar turns into fat. That's sugar that's not used.
Any excess calorie that is not used is stored by the body in the form of body fat. And sugar is just, this refined sugar is just a way to really get massive amounts of extra calories into our body that we really aren't able to burn. And therefore, the body has all this sugar, you know, going around, floating around, that it has to now turn into body fat. But the thing is that sugar does so much more structural damage to the body than just, you know, being leftover extra energy that becomes body fat, because it actually does a whole lot of different things. So heart disease, coronary disease now is really related to high sugar intake more than high fat intake.
Cancers.
Now, right? Sugar provides for cancer growth. I mean, all these diseases of the Western society, diseases, really are coming from this constant overdose of sugar. And a side effect is that we become obese. It's almost like that's the side effect of it, right? So the combination fat-sugar, particularly if you want to lose weight. Now, if you're really ready to lose a lot of weight in a short time, you never want to combine fat with sugar. Ever, period, end of story. If you really want to dig in, and that's not easy, that's really, really hard, but that is one of the things that you do. You do that when you really want to extremely slim down, and I did this when I was working out for my figure competition, and I lost 12% body fat within a 6-week time frame, which, not saying that's the healthy thing to do, but what I never did was I never combined a fat with a sugar. So when I was eating fats, I was eating vegetables and nuts and the fats and the proteins, and sugar was separate and only in the morning. So I would have my fruits in the morning with combined with just plain protein, and then in the afternoon, as the day goes on, I switched to just vegetables and fats and took all the sugars out. Now, that is, you know, you have to plan for that, and it's not necessarily the easiest, but you can get used to that and do that more often. So really, you know, your question, how about the sugar-fat ratio? Well, you know, really sugar and fat, if you really want to lose fat and really get healthy and all of that, don't ever combine sugar.
I mean, well, think about all of our baked goods, what they're involved in.
Exactly.
And, you know, so we've been on the sugar detox for, like, 10 days?
10 days.
Okay, I was like going, oh, it's 3 weeks.
But, no, not yet.
But, and I had, I've taken so many things out of my diet over the years, you know, not refined sugar. So it wasn't that much of a stretch, but it was shocking to know how much sugar or how much I depended on that maple syrup boost,
right. Yeah.
Or whatever boost it was that I, you know, had rationed myself out for in my day. But so I haven't had any of the sugars except for the 2 pieces of fruit. But what I did notice, my body was craving the fat, so I couldn't wait to get the olive oil. I couldn't wait to get the avocado. I was very excited about my nuts. I was, you know, the
that's what happened.
And I was very excited about the almond butter and all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I remember in my and I've been working to reduce the last 10 pounds that just seems to hang on to my life. And so, and I have very easily. It's like I probably have about 5 more pounds to get to like what I in my head think is my ideal weight, right? And like just like you said, the sugar is what gained weight. So I used to, like I said, you know, years and years ago, rationalize, okay, I'll have this sugar and that's okay because I'm doing all these other workout things.
Yeah.
But it never seemed to be enough workout to get rid of whatever fat I wanted to. It's like I never could get rid of that last 10 pounds. Never could do it. And I couldn't figure that thing going on because I worked out a lot and I didn't eat that much and I didn't overeat.
And that's a lot of people out there. A lot of people have exactly that same problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the sugar addiction
and probably
that keeps
like you
us
said, the toxicity of your body.
Exactly. Which
and sleep. If we don't get enough sleep, our body, we're going into where we're producing more more cortisol, higher insulin. We're triggering a fat response in our body. Just we could lose weight by getting proper sleep, which we really don't.
Yeah.
And average, I mean, we used to live at a time when the lights were out. We didn't have the electricity. We would cycle. You know, we'd cycle with the rhythms of the day, and we were leaning more toward within the last 100 years, more toward 9 hours a day.
Hmm.
And I haven't in all these years. I would sleep very little, but I'm finding that as I have more sleep, my body's running much more efficiently.
And then if you look at what's been happening in society, then we are having less sleep, more stress, and what are we going to
sugar.
Compensate?
Yeah.
Sugar, okay? And then we've villainized the fat. So in the end, a fat-free muffin could have twice as many calories as a full-fat muffin. That's number one, a little bit smaller. Number two, tastes a lot better. But number three, the problem was that the fat, if you take it out, fat carries flavor. So if you take the fat out of something, then there's no more flavor. So you have to add a lot of sugar or extra salt to have some kind of flavor with it. And if you've been eating non-fat and low-fat things, I was never able to get into that habit because I didn't want to eat that, period. And maybe that's a good diet, you know? Hey, I'm only going to eat low-fat and no-fat stuff, and since I don't want to eat that, I'll just eat nothing. but really, that was the problem, and that's what's been happening. So we've been compensating for all these things, all these out-of-whack. So the point, again, and that's really one of the big points in Love Your Life Now, is to get back to center, to balance, and to listen to your body. And like you were saying, Sergun, as the sugar came out, your body was actually telling you to eat more fat, and yet you had lost 3 pounds in the first 5 days.
And now 6 pounds.
And now 6. So the next 4 days, you lost another 3 pounds.
Do I look leaner?
Right?
Yes.
Yes. And more vibrant. Yeah. And you look like 5-6 years younger already.
Thank you.
Yeah. No. When you came by my house last night in your dress, I was like, wow. She just only turned 40 yesterday, and you know, and that's and so it was just. You know, that's what's happening when we get back to ourselves on all the areas in the workout that we're doing. We don't want to do too much, but we do want to move our body in the food, balancing out the food, listening to our body, what it's telling us, you know, eat fats, less sugar, and if sugar, then the natural sugar, and those types of, and this, you know, the sleep, all of that. That's when we get younger, more vibrant.
If we can also, because of the confusion that, you know, we've been delivering all these years with the doctors and the low fat and all of that, if you can do your research on, by going into the Weston A. Price Foundation and taking a look at traditional diets and foods that, you know, will have fermented cod liver oil, we'll utilize whole raw cow milk or whole raw goat milk, things that, you know, might sound a little bit controversial today, but they're, when we have an understanding of how our body, the arteries will lay, you know, and repair themselves, the plaque that we're experiencing, the inflammation and the plaque that we experience in the arteries, when we're taking in inferior fats through, you know, through vegetable oils like the sunflower, the soybean, those kinds of things, they cause a flaking off of the arteries. When we incorporate something that's more whole and raw and, you know, like we're dealing with raw coconut oil, or we're dealing with, I know it's a tradition, it's a controversial, but the, you know, the raw milk, raw cow milk, the fats in those products that have been villainized all these years, they repair. They have our arteries repairing properly. The patches are smooth, and it allows the blood flow through those arteries to be much more efficient. It doesn't flake off and cause the clogging and the issues with our heart. But if you could do a little bit of research on that too, and kind of find out what fats are best for you, would be great too. Weston A. Price Foundation, yeah. WestonAPrice.org.
And again, one of the questions is, you know, how much is too much? So if you can keep it to around 3 to 5, if you're very active, and if you're, you know, maybe if you're taller, between 3 to 5 tablespoons of fat per day.
So it would be, one tablespoon would be a tablespoon of avocado, let's say.
Yeah.
Another tablespoon of olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
And where do meats come in? I mean, we did not get to talk about the fat that comes from natural, organic, healthy meats. They do have a place in our diet if you are not a vegetarian.
Right.
Again, in moderation. Mm-hmm. Now, again, how much meat? You don't need that much protein or fat. So, you know, if you're having a piece of meat, it would be the size of your palm, the palm, not too thick, of course. But again, when it comes to meat fats, they are still very acidic. That's how I'd like to look at it.
I mostly avoid them, I have to say. I can't eat them. Right. I can't chew them. It actually makes me gag.
So you're listening to your body.
Yeah.
Your body's saying no. My body says yes. And when I don't eat my, you know, 2 or 3 times a week, I don't eat my healthy, organic, beautiful piece of meat, I don't feel great. So I have been a vegetarian before, maybe even vegan, but that was missing in my diet. And so that has to do with my blood type, body type.
But there's a difference between meat and the white part of the meat, which is the fat. So the meat, that's protein.
Mm-hmm.
Then the white part of the meat, some people can actually eat that.
Yeah.
And then also when I make bone broth, mm-hmm. I used to scrape off all the fat.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm leaving a little bit in.
Yeah.
Number one, it makes the soup more flavorful.
Yeah.
And number two, it's that little bit of fat.
Right.
But like you said, moderation. So you probably don't really need to add a whole tablespoon of meat fat to your diet. That's really not what I'm saying. That might be too much, because that is a saturated fat. And then in that case, I'd rather have you have the avocado or the coconut on a daily basis.
Right.
But once a week, if you're working really hard, you know, I don't know, maybe twice a week, you could probably get away with 2 to 3 tablespoons of some kind of a meat fat. Mm-hmm. From bone broth. Yeah.
Is there, let's say outside of that white part around the meat, is the fat is in the meat also?
Yeah.
Yes, a little bit, yeah. And different types of meat have different amounts of fat in them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like pork has a lot more fat than a lean beef cut.
And having the animals eat what the animals should be eating, not corn. Some of the animals that are fed those, because what fattened the animals is going to fatten us. And if the cows normally, when they're allowed to do what cows do, they eat grasses. They consume, they're ruminants. They have 4 stomachs that are, you know, they're designed to do that. So their meat, if we uptake meat, and we do take in meat, it's really, really much better for us if we take in animals that are eating what the animals are supposed to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you, and I do that too, if meat is part of our diet, then the one thing to, and we're running out of time here, but then the one thing to really watch out for is, how was that animal raised? Was that animal raised in a way that was humane and in accordance with what this animal would be doing in the wild? And then that fat and protein and energy will be therefore that much healthier for you.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother podcast.
And that's a whole nother podcast. So we will do that. We'll have a podcast come up on meats, and we'll have a podcast come up on sugars also, to clarify some of these questions that you now might actually have, because we just can't fit it all in 20 minutes. And so we're a little over today. We have one announcement that Sirgun wants to make.
Yes, so we have a new yoga class. It's the Divine Feminine, and we are focusing on pregnant mommies, so new mommies with building that baby inside, and postnatal, and then anyone wanting to tap into the Divine Feminine. That is every Wednesday here at Yoga for Balance, and the time is from 6 p.m. to 7:15 p.m., and you can go online at yogaforbalance.org, and you can register for classes online or pull up the class schedule, and all the information is there.
And with that, I want to remind you to just make sure to tune back in next week. And in the meantime, love your life now. Bye.
Bye.